Amen. It's good to be here. I see this ring is still up here. 27 carat pearl. You lost it. There it is. Make sure you come by and claim it. I think this will be the last service. We sit it there, and then we'll return it back to the gumball machine. All right. We're going to be in Genesis tonight. Before we get there, I want to give a few announcements. So we'll be in Genesis chapter 4 as you're finding your place. We're getting towards the end of the year. Discovery Club will be ending up in the middle of May. Actually, May 14th is the presentation, right, Sister Jill? So May 14th is the presentation. So the next 2 weeks, they will be in preparation for the end of the year event. So invite folks to come out and see it, be involved in that. You that have kids, tell their friends so that they can come see how they close out the year. So they'll be interested. They'll have some kind of knowledge for it. And then the 14th, then the 17th, we have the youth rally here at the church. Many of you have said you would be willing to do whatever's needed to do that. So we're going to have to get busy because that is like, 19 days away, Brother Scott? See, Brother Scott, where's he at? Walking around. 17th, May 17th. That's almost 19 days away. So we've got a lot to accomplish. I'm down to two different dishes for the food, so I need your help. One of them is 6-inch subs, where we divvy it out. The other one is nachos, cheese, and like a chili, but not a chili, but maybe a taco seasoning meat to go with it. So we're down to that. The dessert's already cared for. Sister Amanda has cared for that. It's going to be a popcorn cuisine. Double dip and chocolate bar. Yeah. So you can sit there and dip and eat half a piece of popcorn, dip it back, share your goodies. No, it'll be a little different than that, but it will be, that's going to be the dessert bar. It will be popcorn with different sprinkling type flavors. So that sounds good. I might bypass either the subs or the nachos and go straight to popcorn. But that's where we're at. And so tonight after church, I need you to tell me, because if not, I'm just looking at, yes, Brother Mike. So that's the two choices, and I'll make the decision later. So thank you for your input. Yeah, that went all over the place right there. So we might just end up having bologna sandwiches. So that it worked. Don't forget Brother Judd's working with the skits and Daniel's skits and games. Sister Lois is not doing well right now, so we might need to have a special ready besides her. The theme, stay salty. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. So keep that in mind. We have yet to have anybody bring any bags of candies. We need bags of candies to give away to the groups. So you can start doing that right now. We'll put a box back in the back, and we'll keep them in the air conditioner where it can be used. Any gift cards, if somebody gave you a $5, $10 gift card, you think, wow, I'm never going to go use this, and you'd like to donate it, we give those away to the workers, the adult workers that bring them. They're kind of the unknown soldiers there. Nobody, you know, they're just there. You know, transport kids back and forth, and I'm not going to say that nobody recognizes them. God recognizes them. But I think it's good as a church that we say thank you. We're the last one for the year, and they've traveled all year long getting our kids back and forth. And so we'll just say thank you. So if you got a few gift cards, you know, Dunkin' Donut here, or Taco Bell there, or, you know, Dollar Tree here. I don't know, any gift cards that you might have, that you may want to go buy a handful of. That'd be your, between you and God. But we need to get those start to roll, okay? All right, we're going to continue our studies in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4 tonight. We have been going verse by verse in the book of Genesis, and we're up to chapter 4, verse 16 through 26 tonight. 16, Genesis 4:16-26. Let's start reading there in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahiliel, and Mahiliel begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of one was Adiah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adiah bare Jabel, and he was the father of such as dwelt in tents, and as such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So up here to Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 through 26, we kind of got a report of the human progression, of how the human race has progressed up to this point. Verses 16 through 18, you have everything that Cain had and what he held. It says there in verse 16 that Cain, he dwelt in the land of Nod. If you go look up that name, Nod, it means wandering, a place of wandering. And of course, Isaiah 53:6 says what? All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We go wandering. Why are we going wandering? Because we're sinners. Why is Cain, what's going on with Cain? And Cain did what there in verse 16? And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, when you go out from the presence of the Lord, it is a place of wandering. It is a place of wandering. And this is where Cain is at. And Cain is wandering around. And so, just like Cain, when he got out there away from God and began to wander, remember God, when he came to him, God said, Cain, listen. If you only do well and do right with your sacrifice, I'll accept you. That's what he was told back here in the back of the the beginning of chapter 4 when he slew Abel, but he got wroth. He got mad, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse there until he just walked away from the presence of the Lord. So be careful that you keep yourself right with God. Because, you know, compound interest is like it's like the ninth wonder of the world, I believe, if you use it right. I think there's 8 wonders. I don't know, but it's a wonder. If you use it right, it really is. When you use that compound, well, compound sin doesn't get any better. It gets real bad. You know the story in the New Testament where the parable is told that there was one that had a demon. It was cast out, or it was told that it was cast out, and nothing was put in its place. Nothing was put back. The demon left. It cleaned up out in there. Well, nothing was placed in its spot. Guess what? More. Sevenfold came and dwelt in this person. It just gets worse. Compound sin never gets better. Never. And you know as well as you, if I asked for a show of hands tonight, you could sit here and tell me, say, Pastor, that was the time in my life. It could be even right now as we speak. It could have been years ago. Whenever it was, there was a time in my life, Pastor, where I got away from God. And I didn't get things right. You can tell me the testimony. The sins kept going. It just got worse. It didn't get better. It didn't get better for Cain when he wandered. He left the presence of the Lord and he dwelt there. And we saw last week God just mercy and mercy and mercy kept reaching and trying to deal with Cain and trying to get Cain right. Now Cain just totally, I've learned this in my life. When I've been convicted about sin and convicted about the things that I'm doing in my life that are wrong, I got one or two reactions. One of them I get right. The other one I just get fired mad about. And when I get mad about it, it don't get any better. You know? I tell you, I think I'm addicted to sugar. Is anybody here addicted to sugar? Honestly, I think I am. I think they've done something with sugar. I'll tell you why. Now that I'm at this age, I have to be very careful with my sugar intake. Not. Things happen. I just start growing. Just amazing. Or my clothes start shrinking. Maybe that's the idea. I think the clothes start shrinking on me. But I could go, Sister Amanda, I can go 6 weeks. Not going to have any sugar. Just not going to do it. I do away with it. And then all of a sudden, I'll go home one Sunday evening. But Sunday evening, I got this thing about having a bowl of cereal on Sunday evening. Anybody like cereal in the evening? Every night, huh? Well, I'm just going to have a bowl of cereal. Raisin bran, a little sugar in there. And before you know it, I done had 3 bowls of cereal with sugar in there. It's like I can't stop. I can't. Well, I'll tell you, dear friend, when you just reach out there and sin and think you're going to wade your toe out in it, it's not going to happen. This body is addicted to sin because we are sinners before a holy and righteous God. And when we feed the flesh grows stronger and grows stronger and grows stronger. And before we're in all kind of trouble. Verse 17 through 18, we see the family of Cain over here. Verse 17 through 18, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch, and unto Enoch. So he dwelt in the land of Nod. He had a wife. Now he has a son. He built a city, named it after his son. Verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Erad, and Erad begot Mahalalel, and Mahalalel begot Methuselah. Methuselah begot Lamech. And so we got his family. So these are the things that Cain has given. That's just the natural human progression. We get things and we add things and we're there. Well, beginning in verses 17 through 24, we see some of the first things in the human race in the line of Cain. Like, for instance, there in verse number 17, what had the first what? First city. That was part of, even though, listen, Cain was out there wandering around in the land of sin and land of Nod and wandering around in his sin, he had some good things that come out of him. But good things are not righteous things. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Some good things come out of the line of Cain. If you look at it, we're going to study it. But some bad things. Murder. I mean, you know, first murder. We had the first murder last. Now we have the first city here. A new culture has begun. There's been many, many, many cities built since this first city. But we as God's people are not to be looking for a city made by hands. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I think too often we get focused on the now and on our city. And we're more focused on our community and what we can do here physically, and that we neglect the city that God has made. That great city. Look over in Revelation chapter 21. Hold your place here. Revelation 21. This is the city we should be looking for. Revelation 21, verse number 2, the last book of the Bible. Listen to what John said as he saw here. He said in Revelation 21, 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We're looking for that city, that beautiful city, dear friend. That's why Colossians tells us to set our affections on things above. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew we're to hide our treasure in heaven. You know, be careful where we do this. And so Enoch, he built this city, and it was a good thing. Prosperous thing there. But then in verse number 19, what do we have? Verse number 19, Lamech took unto him what? Two wives. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, it was not of God. That's what's wrong with that. It's not scriptural. That's what's wrong with that. Well, King David had many. It wasn't right. How many of you have ever had your children tell you this? Well, Mom, well, Dad, the whole school is doing it. Did it make it right because the whole neighborhood was doing it? No, just because King David did it does not make it right. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 3. So you have the first case of polygamy. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse 3. We'll read down verse 3 through 9. The Bible says, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" That's how we get. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. But therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except to be fornication, shall marry another, commit adultery. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And so the beginning was not so. God married Adam and Eve there, and that was God's plan. Of course, sin has marched its way through lives and destroyed it, and caused us to do things like there. It said, "Well, why did Moses do this?" And, well, because of the hardness of your heart. Moses got tired of dealing with you folks every day, so he said, "Hey, let's make up some rules here so that we can handle this." But polygamy was not what God had desired from the very beginning. So you had first city, you had first polygamy there, and then verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal, and his was the father of such as handled the harp and organ. See, music is a very ancient thing. It's been around a long time. It's nothing new. very music came from the line of Cain. So there we have first music. Verse 22, you have the first craftsman. You have, what's his name? Tubal-Cain. Verse 22, Zula, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and of iron. Listen, don't think for one moment, because we're talking about 6,000-7,000 years ago, that they were not intelligent people. Very intelligent people. So Cain, though he was wandering away from God, some good things came about. But some bad things came about as well. So we had cities, we had music, we had the artificer of brass and of iron. There in verses 23 through 24, listen what it says here. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adiah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man of my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now where did he get that? You heard this saying, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile? What did God do for Cain? Back up a little bit. Back there in the same chapter, Cain's talking about his punishment is too great in verse 13. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out from the day, from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond of the earth. Shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, now here's the mercy of the Lord, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Then you have his son, who stepped out further into sin. What does he do? He takes the word of God, he stretches it a little further. He stretches it a little further. And Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then truly, 70 and sevenfold. Wow, what amazement is that? You see why I told you sin doesn't get better because you keep going down the road of sin? It doesn't get better. We make up different rules and we try to play by different boundaries. We try to set the boundaries in a different manner and it does not work. And so you have here, it kind of sounds like almost a riddle. Verse 23 and verse 24, maybe poetry, I don't know what it is. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adiah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. It's like there's just no care to the matter. It's like, well, you know, I killed somebody. But it's okay, because if Cain was cared for 70 times, surely 70-fold. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be hunky-dory. Now, the lineage of Cain grew progressively in some good areas, music, cities, artificery, but it's no different. When you wander away from God, it also grew more and more wicked. Did it not? When you get down here and you read that verse by the son Lamech, he just justifies and says, well, 70. What does the Bible tell us in 1 and 2 Timothy 3? Evil men shall do what? Wax worse and worse. So just because some good things come out of something doesn't make the whole matter right with God. This goodness that I believe that we see coming out of him is the natural thing that God has put us. Remember, God has made us in his image, his likeness. So it's like that. So there's some good things. You know, some cures have come about. You know, some great medical things have come about. Probably by men and women who know not God. Where'd they get that? They've been created in the image of God. But their invention does not make them righteous in the eyes of God. They've just done some good things. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. So we got to be careful that when, wow, they did some good stuff. Yeah, praise God for the good stuff. But they still need Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus first. He's the answer. He is the answer. There. And so it just began to wax worse and worse. And then verses 25 to 26, we have Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, called his name Seth. For God has said, hath appointed me, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So you have Seth being born here. Now, it was appointed time. It was to take place there. And the lineage, which is amazing, this is the lineage, if you follow it through the lineage that Christ came from. He didn't come from Cain. He came from Seth's side. Over here. And then you see here it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There. He learned the right way, the righteous way. He followed in the right steps, and the Lord's way was the right way. And there, man, then, if you look at it, to me, the testimony of Seth goes down through his son, Enos, and then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Look at the different testimonies that is left. Cain, who wandered, had a son who went into polygamy, who then slew a person. Where did he learn that? From his father. Who did his father? Slew his brother, his uncle. Then you had Seth, who was raised up by the same family. Remember, Cain and Abel, same mom, same dad. Abel did right, Cain did wrong. Abel was slain. Now you have another one there, and choices matter. So Seth began to follow the Lord, follow the footsteps of Adam, and Adam got himself right with God, and then Enos did, and then it affected all people around. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So right here in four chapters of the Bible, we find where choices affect great amounts of people. Don't ever think that the choice you make is just between you and you alone. Whatever we choose to do is going to affect somebody. It's going to affect somebody. So we see here the effect that it had. I guess what happens to me, and when I look at this and I see this, as Seth and Enos, their line goes down. It's amazing. There's only two little verses here that covers it. But it's amazing to me that it kind of shows they had dependency upon God. I'm sure there were some good things that came out of this line that we don't know about. I'm sure. I think God's trying to show us here is that Cain, from the very beginning, had dependency upon his hands. You know, he brought the fruit of his hands. That was his, what I call it, cornucopia. He brought his fruit last week and said, Lord, look at what I've done with my hand. Then his testimony is, still after wandering from God, God records everything that was done with his hands. Everything that was done. And what does God record over here? The spiritual side. The spiritual side with Enos, with Seth, with Abel. What does Hebrews say? Hebrews says, though he be dead, talking about Abel, he yet speaketh. I guess what God's trying to say to us, dear friend, that the spiritual is much more valuable than the material. Much more valuable. What's going to last? The spiritual. The spiritual is going to last. And so I'm thankful that we have folks that know how to play instruments. We're getting to play instruments in the church, our piano, the organ, the guitars, the xylophones and all these other clarinets, flutes. We're getting to play all that. It came from Cain's side of the line. We get to enjoy this. Aren't you glad that we can take, even though it came from Cain, which was a carnal man, we can take it and use it for godliness. We can use it to honor and to worship God. So don't think for, that the decisions you make don't affect something way down the road. I would much rather people know us as ones that led people to following the Lord. What a testimony. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then for us to have the testimony of, well, so what? We sin, but God's got enough grace that 70-fold we're going to be all right. Oh, that's foolishness, dear friend. Foolishness. We do not have to follow that line. And we don't have to wait out. Well, we've done all this good. We've done all this good. We've done all that good. Well, I think I'm going to be okay. No, there's none good. No, not one. No, not one. So we have the progression of men, or the human race, up to this point. Now, next week, we're going to look in Genesis chapter number 5. And Genesis chapter number 5, it is an amazing chapter to me. If you was to read it, matter of fact, I challenge you to read it and kind of make some marks or write some notes. And tell me how many times it mentions he lived and he died. He lived and he died. He lived and he died. Next week, that'd be a good thing to know. There, because that it's a chapter full of life and death. You know, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. So it's a wonderful chapter and a lot of information in there that we can find. Oh, by the way, let me stop here, because I know that this may be a question in some of your mind. Well, where did Cain get his wife? Where did Abel get his wife? Well, back then, sin had not taken its effect, so they probably married either a sister or a niece. Yeah, and incest didn't become a problem until later on because of sin. They did populate through that away. It is not right today. Don't go find your first or second cousin and try to get married. It's not right today. But back then, sin had not taken its toll upon the human body yet, and it had to have a population time. And so I think into the book of Leviticus, God actually bans it and puts it away. So that is something that I think everybody has been asked. Every Christian has been asked. Well, if your Bible's so true, where did Cain and Abel get their wife? From a sister. They married a sister or a niece. Well, how do you know? Well, God told us there was a sister in there. At least one. They didn't marry together because population grew. All right? So don't let that gross you out. Just a simple fact. It's just that it's how it was until the population built up. And then they began to marry outside the family and look for wives in other places. But population had to take place. It did have to take place. Well, what happened to Noah? Noah's boys took their wives on the ark with them. So you didn't have that problem. Because that's another argument, but they took their wives. So that was there, and it was something that did take place back then. But it doesn't take place now, or shouldn't take place now, because God has put a prohibition upon that in that way. All right, let's stand to our feet. Head bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jim's going to come afterwards and have a song of invitation. Then we have choir practice, and we'll have to have a meeting for for just a little bit about the Soldiers Across Youth Rally, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray, God, to bless as we close out the day. God, if there's a person here in this room, even though we were studying kind of through some passages that did not deal with salvation, it is your word, and you are the living word. If somebody's lost today and they don't know you as your personal Lord and Savior, May tonight they come at this altar call and ask us to take the word of God and show them how they can know they have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.